The sermon title this Sunday is Peace Be With You. Really? And in our gospel lesson, Jesus says, Peace be with you, three times. And the thing that makes it, that makes me add the really, is that saying peace be with you doesn't make peace happen automatically. Even when Jesus says it, it's not a magic phrase. It's not abracadabra bringing peace. It would be nice if it was, but it is not. So peace be with you sometimes, to me, almost sounds... if I'm in a bad frame of mind, it sounds accusatory of all things. And often it sounds a little, almost tone deaf. But is it really? And that's where the really comes in, because I want us to think about what it is when Jesus says, peace be with you. Because in the first one, as Bill read for us, the first peace be with you is when Jesus appears among his followers who are still thinking he's dead. Yes, they've had some women, they've had Peter, John, they've heard that he's risen, but there he is. And that can't not be a shock. As I've said many times before, the people of that era knew what a dead body was like. You know, most of us, thankfully, have seen very few people who have just died. So we might be fooled. They would not have been. They knew Jesus was dead. There was no question about that. So when he rose, they were coming at it from a much harder to convince perspective than perhaps we might. So when Jesus says, peace be with you, he is saying something of significant value, because in the same way that the angels always begin with, don't be afraid, it's because something so out of the ordinary, so unexpected, that it's not ridiculous that we might be afraid, or that we might be at least concerned or shocked or something. So Jesus says, peace be with you. And then interacts with them and says, peace be with you again. And in the second time that he says, peace be with you, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit, giving them that physical example of the reality of the Holy Spirit coming upon them as if a wind, a breeze, in this case, a breath. And when Jesus appears again, he says, peace be with you. And that's when he has that interaction with Thomas. And I was talking to Hadley about this morning, and we talk about doubting Thomas, and perhaps it would be better to say realist Thomas, because Thomas knew Jesus was dead. And if somebody tells you somebody who was dead is alive, it's not unreasonable to think that might not be the case. So Thomas is part of this whole peace be with you. You're about to be surprised by something. And I thought this, as I was thinking about this text, and I've been thinking about it all week, peace be with you is for us. Peace be with you is Jesus speaking to people who are, especially that first one, confused, maybe a little hopeful, but mostly grieving, maybe despairing. But Jesus comes and says, peace be with you. He doesn't come and say, what's wrong with you? I told you I was coming back. He says, it's me. Be at peace is another way maybe to think of it, or another, I think, acceptable way to interpret that or translate that. And so I want, on behalf of Almighty God, if you will, who has been saying this to me this week, I've been thinking of the future. I've been thinking of, I'm going to stop going to Grenfell after next Sunday. That's going to be perhaps a little awkward, perhaps a little, won't be unpleasant, I don't think, but it'll be a disappointment for them, and I can't be in two places. I think it makes a lot of sense that I am with St. Mark's for the foreseeable future as we make these changes and all of that so that we can be at peace. And as I've been sort of that roiling around, God's been saying, peace be with you. And so I pass that message on to you, that I completely believe God is saying to the faith community called St. Mark's that used to meet on High Street, peace be with you. Because in this time when we might be a little confused, a little concerned, a little worried, we might just have that very human resistance to change. Some people love change, but most of us don't. Even if that's all it is, peace be with you. And in this time of incredible division, you know, I don't know Instagram well enough to have clipped out the part I actually wanted in the middle, where they're talking, where she read the Muslims' grace extended to the Roman Catholic siblings in monotheism. But I'm still sort of glad the bookends were there. Because tomorrow we find out what happens in this election. Peace be with you. I don't know if you've been listening to what people have been saying or whether you've tried to stay out of that altogether. I have worked hard at trying to find independent voices. It's been hard. And as I've been looking for them, I've been hearing unpleasant things, wrong things, lies told about other people that I'm supposed to believe. And I'm supposed to change my opinion of people on the basis of what these people say. Peace be with you if you've been having that too. Peace is not easy. It's not something that we can just snap our fingers and create within ourselves or anywhere else, of course. And we think of Jesus saying, peace be with you, to his followers who were so worried, so concerned. And even after he left, they knew that it wasn't going to be great, that there were going to be problems, there were going to be difficulties. How often did they come back to that memory of Jesus saying to them, peace be with you? There's a part of me that I wish I didn't have that doesn't want to be at peace, because that part of me says, oh, just wait for that other shoe to drop. It's that pessimistic part that I've been working so hard to get rid of. And I've been trying to get rid of it for the almost trivial reason that pessimistic people don't live as long as optimistic people. I came across that unpleasant little statistic decades ago, and I've been working on it ever since, trying to approach the world with open hands, with open arms, with optimism and hope. And as I'm listening to people talking about politics, not just ours, but all over the world, and I hear peace be with you, that's when I say, really? Really? Can I be at peace now? Is it even possible? Can I be at peace, but I have to close my eyes and pretend the world doesn't exist? Well, Jesus doesn't say that anywhere in Scripture. He doesn't say, peace be with you. Don't talk to anybody and don't listen to anybody and you'll be happier. He also says, peace be with you. He doesn't say, happiness be with you, although the two are often connected. There is so much upset, if you will, in our lives right now, with changing societal norms, with things like pronouns that we're trying to wrestle with, however that is for us, whether it's remembering them or accepting them, whatever it might be. We have an election where we have to choose a new prime minister. We have everything. And now our church is going to somewhere else. It's a little chaotic, if I may say so. Less chaotic, thanks to Bev, Tracy, and those who have been helpful and beyond helpful, have done so much for us to make this as easy as comfortable a transition as it can be, but it's still a transition from the old, which was comfortable, to the new, which is new. I'm sure it will be comfortable, and I think it'll be comfortable pretty quickly, but it's still going to be new. So peace be with you, and peace be with me. Peace be with us as a community of faith, and may we have that kind of peace that is attractive to others. May we be the kind of place that when divisive topics come up, because they do, they come up in the church and out of the church, and we can't always ignore them, nor should we try to always ignore them. When they come up, will people see us treating each other with love and respect, even when we disagree? Well, yes, I think they will. Because that's what I've seen when we've talked about tricky issues in the church and otherwise. I think of this year-long process of discerning God's will that has moved us into the place where we are leasing our building and moving to another one. And I don't recall people being angry, being unkind to each other. People being unsure, of course. Worried, absolutely. But also confident and optimistic. Those also, they've all been in there. And we have, as a community of faith, we have come together to do this thing, this move that's almost unheard of. Because we're not closing our church. We're not saying our time as a congregation is done. We're saying our time in this building is done. This chrysalis, if you wish. And now we're butterflies. Butterfly is my favorite resurrection symbol. And that's why. Because out of something that looks like just a container, you get a butterfly. And maybe we can take that on for ourselves. The building that we used to be in treated us well. We cared for it, we loved it, but the building is the least part of what makes us a community of faith. It was still part, but the least part, you people, and those who can't be with us today, and those who have gone on before and are part of that great cloud of witnesses that we read about in Hebrews, that's the important part. That's the part that really matters, and we're taking all of that with us. So peace be with you. Without any really at the end. Just peace be with you. As we move into these new things, as we make the changes we may have to make, we're already changing the time we worship. When we think of all of those things coming together, peace be with you. It's God that has brought us this far. It's God who's cared for us every moment till now. And God has not said, I'm going to leave you alone if you ever leave that building. No. Nothing of the sort. Instead, God has said, you will go from this place, every bit as loved, every bit as cared for, as you were before, because all that's changed is our address. Amen.